Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us today. I don't know what you're doing, where you're doing it from, but I hope it's a good experience. Today in the studio with me is Becky Brown.
Hello, everybody.
And many of you know Becky has headed up all of our clinical things here at New Life and now kind of moving over into working in the development division,
yes,
as well as just being a real live human being. Now, if you want to join us, we've got a special guest today, Dr. Tim Clinton. And Tim, of course, is the executive director, the president of American Association of Christian Counselors. And we'll talk about the virtual seminar that they're doing. Tim also is co-host with Dr. Dobson of their program, which is, I forgot the name. Oh, it's Family Talk.
Yes.
I think that's it.
Yes.
Is that right?
Dr. Dobson's
Family Talk. Yeah. Yep. Sorry, I missed that. But we'll bring him in just a minute. But a couple of things before we go to this first break here. I want to be sure that you know all about brains, boundaries, battles, and the Bible. That is going to be on December the 5th. It includes working with clinicians. It's one of our intensives. To me, it's like the intensive of all intensives. You'll have live Dr. Daniel Amen talking about the brains. You'll have Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud talking about boundaries. Steve Arterburn will do the part on battles, and then Sheila Walsh is going to be covering all the things about the Bible that benefit us emotionally, spiritually, relationally.
We are really excited about this, too, yeah, because where else can you be in the room with these great minds, these great teachers, and be so up close and personal, and then be able to process with counselors who have been part of the ministry, but also have learned from these incredible teachers. We're so excited.
Yep.
And, you know, COVID has brought out a bunch of bad things, but boy, this is one of the good things that's come out of COVID.
That is true. So if you want to be in the room where it happens,
that's right,
you can join us December 5th. You can sign up now. It's a virtual live intensive. And one of the shocking things to us was when we stopped doing face-to-face because of COVID, when we stopped doing face-to-face and we started doing these virtual events, it was pretty exciting to see how open people were, because you go from being in the large group, hearing a speaker, you click right over into your small group with a licensed clinical professional. And that's what we're going to do December the 5th. It's called Brains, Boundaries, Battles, and the Bible. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Daniel Amen, Sheila Walsh, and me, all of us doing this. It's a one-day conference. You just have to be part of it. It really could be the thing that you've been looking for. I hope that it is. Also, a new television show called Life Recovery Today that I'm hosting. Becky helps produce that show. And you can watch that, Life Recovery Today. You can find out about all the information at newlife.com. But we are truly getting into life recovery. Every program that we do has got a special guest, their story, how they're working in recovery, highlights all of that on Life Recovery Today. And then, finally, if you want to join us today, 1-800-229-3000. That's the phone number, 1-800-229-3000. As I said, when we come back, we'll have Dr. Tim Clinton on, and we'll be taking your calls with Tim. You know, as the head of AACC, well, they have a mega national conference coming up September 17, 18, and 19, All Things Possible. It's a virtual Christian counseling conference. And, you know, we're part of it. We believe in those conferences where people get better at what they do. Mm-hmm. And so we'll tell you all about that when Tim is on. But you're listening to New Life Live. We want the best for you, and we think that the best starts with the truth of the Bible. And so everything we do, it's got a backing of truth. 1-800-229-3000. If you want to join us.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Becky Brown and I in the studio, and our special guest here he is, Dr. Tim Clinton. Tim, how are you doing today? Tim? Okay, well, Tim's not there, but I bet he's doing really well.
I bet
today.
He is, too.
So we'll have
think,
there he is. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Hey, hi, Steve. Hi, Becky. I had it on mute. My fault. Sorry about that.
These virus days, I can't tell you how many times I've done that myself. Hey, Tim, before we start taking calls here, and people are already calling in, 1-800-229-3000, tell people how they can become part of the mega conference that you've got coming up here on the 17th of September.
You can go up online at aacc.net, aacc.net, and it's our mega national All Things Possible Christian Counseling Conference. Really excited about it. Steve, you know, when the pandemic hit, it was like everything shut down. This thing's going to be shut down. There's no way we can hold an event in Dallas. Our team went to work, though. You know, everybody had to pivot. Everybody had to make a fast move. And so we as a team decided we're going to keep that mega national conference online is what we're going to do. And we're going to tape everything. Everything that we had planned on doing, we're going to get in the studio, we're going to get it done, and we're going to kick it off just like we normally would. And so we've done all that work. We're excited. Next week, we're going to roll this out. We've got attendees from all 50 states and I think over a dozen countries around the world. So we think God's going to do something special through this one, aacc.net.
All right. Thank you for that. We'll talk about your book in just a little bit. Well, how about we go to one of our phone calls right here. And let's go over here to Susan. Susan is calling from Sacramento, California. And, by the way, it's hot there. We'll talk to her about KFIA's the station. Susan, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. So my question that I was hoping you could talk a bit about, what do you think is the best form of treatment for someone with borderline personality disorder? And it's regarding our son, who's 23 years old. He has had trauma. He was adopted by us at 6 months of age, but prior to that had really chaotic, when he was a newborn, he was abandoned by his mother, had to be sent to a crisis nursery. So no loving hands or anything like that, at that very young age. And so we're dealing now with a very, very difficult young man with borderline personality disorder. We just can't quite get our thumb on what the best treatment would be. Mm-hmm. He also has substance abuse problems that adds to the mix, but the borderline personality disorder, we're just having trouble kind of pinpointing what type of treatment he would need.
Yeah. So who diagnosed him as having borderline?
Yes, this was while he was in a rehab facility for substance abuse.
Okay.
And one of the therapists there who had a lot of expertise, we were really lucky to have her. She diagnosed it.
And when you talked to that therapist, did she tell you why she thought he was borderline? Because that's a pretty unusual thing to come out of a treatment program that you say, well, you know, this person, mm-hmm. rather than being ravaged by addiction or whatever, it's borderline. But do you remember some of the things that were mentioned that led them to believe this is borderline personality disorder?
Yeah, and she had had, it was interesting that she had had a lot of experience with working with borderline personality mm-hmm. disorder patients in another facility and, you know, had to deal with the substance abuse and that. But yes, so she said things like just kind of an explosive personality, couldn't regulate his emotions, for example, you know, if somebody cut him off in traffic, you know, he would go from like 0 to 1,000, you know, in anger. and just, you know, mostly just like a complete dysregulation of his emotions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then there were a lot of other things too.
Okay.
You know, I mean, when we look at the DSM, you know, that book, when I look at it, and I'm a nurse too, and when I look at that, I think, wow, he has like every single symptom there. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
But I certainly have no expertise in that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's ask Tim what he's thinking. Tim, what do you think might be the best path for somebody who knows that they have borderline and they want to get some help for it?
Nothing like jumping in the fire and frying pan.
Yeah, really. Steve. Yeah. We'll have some easy things here in a minute.
Yeah, Susan, certainly feel a lot of sympathy toward you and your family. And I know that when you have a son who's going through something like this, the emotion regulation is all over the place. And a lot of what I've learned through the years and have seen therapists use is something called DBT, Dialectical Behavior Therapy. We have had a number of our therapists who are affiliated with AACC present on this at a number of our conferences. And DBT seems to be a pretty effective treatment modality. Also, in kind of the traditional vein of therapy, a lot of people still use CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, and just helping mm-hmm. with that emotion regulation, get things under control, calming that down. It's like walking on eggshells around someone like that all the time. Is that what you found? Yeah.
Oh,
and it's a difficult, difficult journey because I'm sorry.
No, she was agreeing with you that, it's like eggshells.
Yeah.
And that piece right there, I think you'll find consistently pushing in that direction, managing emotions, getting rid of the insanity or the power of that dysregulation is the most challenging piece. But I would ask for a therapist who is trained in DBT and or CBT and look for, I think, probably the best help you can coming out of those two areas of therapy.
So there's a couple of things, too, Susan, that I want you to keep in mind. You mentioned that this woman, this was her specialty, and so it may be, you know, that whole concept of if the hammer is your tool, everything's a nail. And I'm not discounting her, but with a diagnosis of borderline personality disorder, it affects so many things, as you have read in the diagnostic manual. But maybe the more important thing is to find out how to understand and love him more. We have a book, actually, Understanding and Loving a Person with Borderline Personality Disorder, don't we?
We do, and we'll get that to her.
And I just think whenever you're talking about addiction and recovery, there are so many other parts of this. It's not just the addiction. It's not just a diagnosis. It's the relationship. And I would encourage you to do your own work in recovery as far as, you know, Al-Anon, depending on, you know, what the situation is. And if he's still living with you, those are other parts of that big puzzle of how to get him prepared for life outside of your house. We talk about that quite a bit, don't we?
Well, Susan, let me just say this. I think the tricky part here is that if I have an addiction and I'm in recovery, then I have a path, there's a plan, fairly predictable plan. I know what I need to do, and I know that it's go to meetings, work those 12 steps, have a sponsor, and a counselor is always helpful in that process. When you throw in borderline to the borderline, it's almost like they could see themselves as an exception or as use it as an excuse not to do the tough work that every person needs to do in recovery. And so you would want
hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me why I hit the nail on the head.
Well, with recovery, he did his 30 days. We tried to have him do more. He wouldn't. He's not living with us right now. But he, you know, when he was done, he kind of had some shame and had some work to do around the substance abuse. But more than anything, he's kind of entitled. He's kind of like, well, yeah, I did my 30 days. I'm well. I'm not like they are. I'm not like those, you know, like those drug addicts and things like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, so, I don't need AA. Yeah, don't need AA. Don't need that.
Right.
Don't need NA.
Okay. So I would just, if I were you, I would set up a phone appointment, a three-way phone appointment with that therapist that diagnosed him with this. And as Becky was saying, we always wonder if, you know, they're a specialist in some area. If more people get that diagnosis than normal. But I would set up a thing where you hear her tell him that everything mm-hmm. in recovery benefits borderline personality disorder. Now, let me tell you why I know that to be true. Because nobody recovers without surrendering. First of all, you have to surrender yourself. But in the area of borderline, you have to surrender that problem. You can't let mm-hmm. that problem control you. You can't use it as an excuse. You can't put it on a pedestal. So mm-hmm. if I were you, I would be listening to that therapist tell him and clarify, not only do you need recovery for your chemical problem, boy, do mm-hmm. you ever need it for this borderline problem.
Right.
And we will send you this book, and it's going to help you with some things so that you don't buy into anything. And that's the worst thing you can do, is to be sympathetic to the borderline thing at the expense of him recovering. Because, you know, when you recover, you build some character. You stay current with people. You care and have compassion. Mm-hmm. For how you're impacting other people. Well, I wonder if he even cares what you think about his problem.
Mm.
Probably
mm.
doesn't. But you've been with him.
Yeah,
yeah mm-hmm. doesn't at all. Mm-hmm. But here you are mm-hmm. fighting for him and caring about him. And if I were you, I'd have a little heart-to-heart talk with him. Say, hey, listen, I love you and I care about mm-hmm. you. I don't feel 1 ounce of anything coming back from my 23-year-old son. And that leads me to believe you're a little bit off track here, and I want to help you get back mm-hmm. on track. And I don't know if you even want my help. So I would be sure I'm not financially supporting him
mm-hmm.
as he's denying the help that he got in the treatment program he went to.
And Susan, that's the reason why I said you need to be in your own recovery process, because 30 days is not recovery. That is just the first step, and not literally the first step, but I mean, recovery is an ongoing process. You're going to need it. He's going to need it. And then accepting that is the pathway to peace.
Yeah. So dual diagnosis is not uncommon. You just have to deal with it, and dual diagnosis mm-hmm. is not necessarily cruel diagnosis. Anyway, I hope something we've said has been valuable to you. And 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Anybody else has somebody in their life that is borderline personality disorder? We have this great resource, Understanding and Loving a Person with Borderline Personality Disorder. And as Tim was saying, there are all sorts of types of therapy that work. What I would want is I'd want to be getting help from somebody that knew about addiction, but also had worked with a few folks that were borderline. And I've worked with people that were borderline. They weren't in therapy. They were just out in the business world.
Why are you looking at me?
It's always exciting. All right. You know, the thing about a borderline is whatever they're saying, they really believe it. Mm-hmm. At the time they're mm-hmm. saying it. Mm-hmm. they really do. And, oh, my goodness, it's frustrating because instantly you are their best friend mm-hmm. until about 6 months later. And then you're banished from the kingdom till you earn your way back. Mm-hmm. It's really fascinating. Dave Stoop and I wrote a book, When Someone You Love is Someone You Hate. years ago, and it kind of sums it up. All right, we'll take a break. More Tim Clinton when we come back. Tim has a great book, Peace for Your Mind and Hope for Your Heart. Has there ever been a time when we needed that any more? I don't think so. We need it today more than ever. We'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Becky Brown, and your phone calls 1-800-229-3000 and Dr. Tim Clinton, head of AACC, American Association of Christian Counselors, or as I call it, All Right, Christian Counseling. And he's the author of this great book, Peace for Your Mind, Hope for Your Heart. And Tim, man, COVID-19, we need this book. Tell us about it.
You know, it's like we've been living in a movie, Steve. So much is like surreal.
Yeah.
This pandemic thing's got everybody still really petrified, and add to that the racial trauma and tension that's going on, the rioting in our streets. It's unbelievable. And going into the election with all the division in the country, there is intense fear and stress and anxiety. Most people say it's intuitive that we're going to have a mental health crisis, and we already had one. What's happened is this has just put it all on steroids. And so how do you have a little peace in your mind and hope in your heart when you're up against everything that's coming against us, Steve? And so I just wanted to slow it down and say, God, what's a word from you? Help us to understand what fear and worry and stress and anxiety are all about. And then how do we understand that if you have a propensity in that direction to being overly consumed or worried about what's going on in your life? And how do you manage it or get it under control? Steve, but so many people live out of control. And yet, let's go to the Word. The Scripture's not silent when it comes to managing our anxieties, our thoughts. Yep. That race and run on us and challenge us toward finding peace from the only place where peace can really come from, and that's in our relationship with God in Christ. So just kind of a new way of looking at this whole journey that we're all on in a meaningful way that gives us that hope and peace we need.
Mm. Well, I'm really glad that you've got this, because if we ever needed it, I mean, there's just not a lot good you can say about this virus. Now, I am getting 3 weeks to the gallon on my car, but other than that, it's just hard to find an upside here. And I hope that people will look for peace for your mind, hope for your heart. I would imagine they could get that at AACC.com, right?
.net.
AACC.net, or you can pick it up on Amazon or wherever. Yep, wherever books are sold.
All right. Okay, let's go to, how about we talk with, let's talk with Mimi here from Tampa, Florida. I believe she's on line 5. Mimi, how are you?
I'm great, and you?
Excellent. How can we help today? What's going on?
Well, my granddaughter announced this week that she's bisexual, and I love her dearly. I will continue to love her no matter what she does or is, but I'm concerned for her, and I'm wondering if I should try to get her into counseling. She's
how old
not
is
open
she?
To it.
How old is she?
13.
And why do you think she has come to this conclusion as a 13-year-old? What are you thinking is the how that happened?
She says that she's been dating a girl for 9 months.
Mm-hmm. So she probably started developing that relationship when she was 12. So what are? Yeah, go ahead, Becky.
Well, I was just going to say who has been talking to her besides you. It's great that she came to you, but what has mom and dad been telling her about her sexuality and, you know, just that process of growing up?
Right. She opened up to all of us at the same time. Her dad was very disappointed and.
Well,
I'm talking about before
the announcement.
Oh, before the announcement?
Right.
I don't really know what you mean by that.
Okay, so a lot of times when we have our developing years, and we develop in all different ways, intellectual, emotional, sexual, we need guidance. We need good parenting. We need, you know, education processes. That's what I'm asking is who has been speaking into her life up to this point before this big announcement?
Her mom and her dad and me and her grandfather.
Okay. And so my question would also be, how is it that a 12-year-old is in a relationship that maybe nobody knew this was going on?
At school.
Mm-hmm. So.
And she has a stepsister who is gay.
Okay. So there's some influence, right? So what do you think? What do you think needs to happen, Mimi? What are you, you know, she said she's not open to counseling, but what do you think you need to do to help her, to support her?
I wanted her to go to talk to our pastor because she had some questions that I tried to answer for her, but I felt inept in a way, and she refused to do that. And I asked her if I could go talk to the pastor, and she said no, she didn't want me to do that.
So some of this, though, is a 13-year-old response. Like, if you take the topic off of the table, you might have that same response from a 13-year-old who maybe is struggling with going to school or, you know, just regular relationships. We know those adolescent years are really challenging, and this is going to be a really important time for you to speak into her life. I'm curious as to what Steve and Tim will have to say when we come back from the break.
Yeah. I think we can help you help her parents right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Becky Brown and Dr. Tim Clinton. And I'm going to turn this over to Tim in just a second here. But Mimi, your 13-year-old granddaughter, I just would say this. It's too young, from my perspective, for there to even be some kind of ongoing relationship that isn't monitored quite strictly. And, you know, if I have a 12-year-old who's starting a relationship, there's no time for them to develop a relationship because I'm not going to put them together. I'm not going to allow them to be together. They might see each other at school or something, but there's no time. The restriction would be so severe on a 12-year-old that I would know everything that's going on. There wouldn't be time alone. Same with a 13-year-old. So I'm just wondering, is this your daughter's child or your son's child?
My daughter's child. Okay. And the only time her and her friend are together is at school.
Well, I would be talking to your daughter, not about whether or not her daughter wants therapy, But I would be talking with her about them getting some counseling together to build, rebuild, or start their relationship, because something didn't go well. Seems like this has been going on for quite some time. So that would be my advice to my daughter. You know what? You two would really benefit from some counseling together. You're not saying that your daughter's the problem. You're saying you want to grow closer, want to understand her, and maybe something there, especially if she's asking questions and curious. To me, that would be the direction versus her sitting down with a pastor, and you don't really know what his experience would be, whether he would be helpful or create a bigger gap here. But Tim, as we're talking about this with Mimi and the granddaughter, what are you thinking when you think about this?
Mimi, I'd say, first of all, it's encouraging that you're calling, because it shows your level of love for your granddaughter and your family.
Yeah.
These are challenging issues. I agree with Steve and Becky that children are they're kids, and mm-hmm. they're just growing up, doing this thing called life, and there's a lot to learn. And the word parenting is there for a reason. It's because we're to parent our children. And I like what Steve and Becky are saying, that this is really about connecting with your daughter first and saying, hey, what's going on here? And I love this relationship piece, pressing in together to have meaningful conversations to help our children understand the journey of life. And so what can we do along the way here? One, obviously pray for them constantly. Two, be really connected. I think what's happened to us, we've lost our emotional closeness with one another. And I think pressing in and getting relationship going at another level is so meaningful. Modeling and mentoring, meaning pouring into our kids, teaching them every step of the way, where we're at, why we believe what we believe together. That's where it starts. And then, as you understand what's going on in her life at another level, you can then begin to reach out maybe to a pastor, to a counselor for help and hope and encouragement and comfort. So I think that's where you do start. I think it's the right place to start.
I think one of the most painful things as a parent is to realize I don't really know my child the way I thought I knew my child. But as painful as it is, once you know you don't know them, now what do? We've got to get to know them. Now, usually I don't think that happens naturally without a little bit of third-party involvement. We believe in counseling here. I know Tim believes in counseling, got a whole organization around it. So, of course, we're going to say, I think the right kind of counselor who can pull this mom and daughter together is your best hope to do something beneficial and productive.
Hey, Steve, I throw in one more piece there, too.
Okay.
And that is, she's at that developmental stage where she's asking and trying to answer a lot of questions about who am I? How do I fit in? And those questions are being asked and they're being answered every day. And there's nothing more important than mom or dad to be in those moments with her or with your son. So that's the real important piece right here, I think, in this conversation.
Good point. All right, I'm going to send this book that we believe in, How We Love, and I think it's going to help you see all sorts, and your daughter will see all sorts of issues with attachment and the lack of and what you can do to build it and grow it. Before we go to the next call, let's go to Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio. And Larry, what do you have for us today?
Well, Steve, a couple of things. One is that we have Every Man's Battle coming up this week. And it's a one-day workshop on Saturday, and I wanted to read a quick testimony from a recent attendee. He says, I only found out about this workshop a week ago. Before that, I'd never heard of New Life Ministries or knew what Every Man's Battle was. And then he goes on, says, having gone through it now, I can hardly say that this weekend has changed my life forever. I was accepted with love the second I walked through those doors. I learned a completely new outlook on marriage, God, life, and myself. Thank you, New Life, for changing my life forever by giving my marriage hope and a battle plan to succeed. Coming here is one of the best choices of my life.
Mm.
It doesn't get much better than that. And folks, that's why we seek your support as well. Lives that intersect with New Life results in life transformation. God's Spirit does a work. And we're here just to try to set the stage for that. So if you can support us in that, please make a gift. Please join Club New Life. And guys, if you're seeking some help for some things you've been fearful to face, sign up for Every Man's Battle today, please.
Mm. It's so great to see somebody go from, you know, you feel like an outcast, you're full of shame. You come to this one-day event, and everything turns around. It doesn't fix everything, but it puts you on the path of healing and restoration. You can find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And all of you that support us, thank you for that. You're part of every one of these men that turn their lives around. And there's nothing more powerful than to see a man go to Every Man's Battle, his wife go to Restore, and then both of them show up in October at our Intimacy and Marriage Intensive. So please, don't know what you need to do. Do it. That's the real key. All right, let's go back to our phones. Thank you, Larry, for being here. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, please do. Let's go over here and talk with, how about we talk with, that would be Lydia from Fredericksburg, listening on WAVA. Hi, Lydia, how are you? Lydia, are you there? Having a hard time getting people's attention today. Okay, well, how about we then go to Linda? Linda
starts with L.
Yeah, calling from Long Beach, listening on the great station KKLA. Hi, Linda, how are you?
Hi, I'm really good, and I thank you so much for your wonderful program, your wise advice, and your sense of humor.
Thank
you. Great.
Thank you very much.
My situation is I have a neighbor who is from another culture, another language, and she's a sweetheart. We get along great, and she's learning English. She has an 18-month-old baby, and I am very concerned about him because when I do see him outside, and with COVID, I haven't gone over there a lot. I used to try to before COVID. Anyway, he has difficulty making eye contact. The TV is on pretty much all the time. He is still eating baby food. He still has a bottle. I'm concerned, you know, about his attention span. He has just a few sounds. And he's also in a porta crib a lot of the time in front of the TV. And my concern is, that he needs help with his development.
Yeah, okay. And so what's the question for us?
My question is, what is the best way to approach? I don't want to be the annoying neighbor, but I want to be a help to her. So how... what do you think is best way to approach the situation?
All right. Well, we can help you with that. So you hold on, and we will help you with that. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Sign up for one of our great intensives that we're doing. Our therapists are involved with these. It's not just listening to someone talk, but it's doing the work. They are powerful. If you need a resource, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've got about 1,300 clinicians around this country that we believe in. We either know them or they know somebody that knows somebody. I mean, we'll help you in your area. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we are talking with Linda, very concerned about the neighbor and the neighbor's child. Tim, have any insight here? What would you suggest for Linda dealing with the neighbor and a 1.5-year-old that she thinks isn't getting the right kind of care?
Linda, we have a brand new granddaughter. She's about 18 months old, and so development has been fascinating to me, even though I've spent a lot of years studying it. Just watching a child develop is just wonderful. I know that all babies don't develop at the same speed, but obviously you feel like there's some type of disconnection there. What I would say is step into her life. Be a good neighbor. Go over and help her any way you can. And take one little tip with you, and I think you probably know this anyway, but I'll share it with you. We're learning in mental health care that in connecting with kids who have behavioral problems, other challenges, that special time tends to be a really helpful therapeutic tool. In other words, relationship development. Spending 20 minutes a day in command-free special time with a child is revolutionary for parents and kids. Mm-hmm. And it actually helps overcome defiance. It creates emotional bonding like you've never seen. If you can just maybe pour into her life for 20 minutes a day and do the same maybe with that child, if you're that committed, even if you can only get 3 or 4 times a week over there, think about what it could do or what it could mean to her. And let me encourage a lot of mom and dads out there who are feeling disconnected with their kids. Special time is amazing. It's an amazing process. You're not... It's command-free special time, Steve and Peggy. It's where you are participating in the life of your child, of that child. And when you do, things start to happen that build, again, connectivity that is therapeutically unbelievable. And mm-hmm. so maybe that's a good place to start, Steve.
Yeah, I agree. Becky, you have a thought here.
I love that, just the phrasing of that, Tim. And I think as a neighbor, what a great gift that you could give. Linda, she obviously has her hands full if she's, a single parent. And even with COVID, you can put your mask on and, leave sure. a treat on the door, or maybe have her come to the door and you guys can talk through the door. All those kind of precautions can be made, but boy, what a powerful way to connect with your neighbor. And I would probably not offer advice to her, but I would get to know her and get to know her baby in a way that a good neighbor would be. And offer yourself, if she needs to run an errand, maybe you can watch the child for that short, brief time. But boy, what an impact that you could make. It would be wonderful.
And Becky, you told me at the break, and I think it's really a great idea. You said, go over there and say, hey, as you're talking, tell me about your baby. And that could actually open up some doors. Well, I think we've got time for one more call. Let's go to Julie. By the way, I will send you, Linda, Raising Great Kids. I hope that'll be a blessing to you. Julie, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call while we still had Tim on. How are you, and how can we help you?
Hanging in there. Thanks for taking my call. My question really is, how can I not be angry at God, or even why shouldn't I be angry at God? Because I've had a lot of loss in my life.
Tell us about the loss. What, lost your mom, okay.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I was 17 years old, mm-hmm. and she was only 45, and in August of 2019, I lost my only sibling, my brother.
I'm so sorry.
He's also my best friend. Neither one of us was married, so we were also roommates, and it was completely out of nowhere, and I just... I'm really struggling with, I see other people like my age and they have all of their families healthy and intact yeah. until they're like in their 80s or whatever. And
So what you're really wanting to know is how to get over the anger, or why shouldn't you be angry? Are you?
Both, really.
Yeah,
because,
okay.
Because, people say, well, God didn't cause it, but it's like also he didn't prevent it either.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Well, I am going to get you a copy of Tim's book, Peace for the Mind and Hope for Your Heart. But let's hear what Tim has to say to give you some encouragement here, because lot of us in times of loss and pain and struggle, we question, where is God in all of this? Tim, what are your thoughts?
Hey, Julie, I grew up close to Pittsburgh, so got some PA roots in me. Julie, one of the best lessons I ever learned in my life was from Johnny Erickson Tada. I interviewed Johnny about what she had experienced in her life and what it was like to be her. And you know, I'm sure you've heard the story of Johnny. If you haven't, she became a quadriplegic from a diving accident in a swimming pool and has journeyed in her life. But Johnny told me what it was like one day to wake up and be Johnny. And she simply said this through it all. She said, Tim, I really believe that God understands our pain and that he even weeps with us in it because we live in a broken world. And some of the why questions are so tough, but here's what I do know. God loves you. He understands the pain that you're going through. He's going to bring into your life, I believe this, and if you'll look for it, people who will encourage you. And like when I went through the loss of my dad simply said this to me. He said, Tim, you know something? It's because of Christ, because of God's love for us, that I'll see you again someday, son. Mm. And I believe that in Christ we will see our loved ones again. And until then, God wants us to share his love to other people. And if you can understand the depth of his love, if you could just meditate on that and believe that God's heart is toward you, Julie, it'll begin to maybe slowly change, but it will begin to change, and you'll find new life and new hope.
Julie, I also want to encourage you that as devastating as these losses have been, and you've been carrying the loss of your mom for years, I don't know how old you are, but you have a whole lot of life in front of you, and God has a plan for your life. And so I want to encourage you to get into a grief support group. I want you to connect with a counselor, and don't get stuck on the why of, or even the anger for God. Part of acceptance is the freedom that we can have when we just accept these difficult things that come into our life. It's not easy at all. But you have so much to offer so many people, and it will create a full life for you for the rest of your days.
All right, I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice, along with we're going to get Tim's book to you, Peace for the Mind and Hope for Your Heart. And I don't know of anything more powerful for someone like yourself to get into a Christ-centered grief recovery group. And then you discover you're not alone, and then you start to work out different things. Anybody else struggling with grief, you know, we have a grief workbook, a life recovery workbook. Just you work the 12 steps for grief, and you can get that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. Tim Clinton, thank you so much for being with us. I'll recommend to everybody Peace for the Mind, Hope for Your Heart, and go to aacc.net. Find out about how you could be part of this amazing, amazing conference that's coming up 17, 18, 19 of September. Tim, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Becky.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to do another program right after this. If you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. You can catch it on Facebook Live. So thankful to have Tim Clinton here, Becky Brown, and all of you. Love you. Appreciate you. Hope you have a great rest of your day. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.